From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudet. You're listening to Idaho Matters. After four University of Idaho students were stabbed to death Sunday morning, Moscow police spent almost 3 days telling students and the broader community there was no threat. Well, then yesterday, police reversed course during a news conference.
We cannot say that there's no threat to the community. And as we have stated, please stay vigilant, report any suspicious activity, and be aware of your surroundings at all times.
Also during that news conference, Moscow Police Chief James Fry said they have not identified a suspect in the killing of those four students.
Based on details at the scene, we believe this was an isolated, targeted attack on our victims. We do not have a suspect at this time, and that individual is still out there.
Now, a few other details emerged from yesterday's news conference, leaving many University of Idaho students frustrated and scared, as well as community members who live in Moscow and the surrounding area. And as you can imagine, many students are leaving school a week before the scheduled Thanksgiving break. Here with the latest update is Boise State Public Radio News reporter James Dawson. James, I know you've been paying close attention to this case, and we appreciate you coming on today.
Yeah, of course, Gemma.
Okay, so Jimmy, Moscow police have now sent out two statements that said there was not a threat to the community after those killings happened. And they sent those, I know the first one came sometime on Sunday afternoon, hours after the bodies were found, but then just yesterday, and they said that that wasn't the case. And I think it's important for us to point out, Jimmy, that Moscow police for 3 days gave zero information, and it, I think, left the school community, the broader community, frankly, the state, baffled.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that stood out to me immediately in the press conference. I think it was about 10 minutes in, with Moscow Police Chief James Fry saying, as you played earlier, we cannot say that there's no threat to the community, which is a complete reversal of what they had been saying for 3 days, especially in light of the fact that they at least publicly have not identified a suspect or suspects in the case. It's just a really scary time, I would imagine, to be living in and around Moscow right now.
Right. And I think too, Jimmy, there were really no statements coming from anywhere. And that is, I think too, when speculation starts to happen, right? When rumors run rampant. And I think that there was this moment in the news conference as well, when the chief said, oh, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I should have been standing here a couple of days ago, but hey, I'm here now. And I found that, frankly, to be very disingenuous, because it was this thing where it's like, but if you knew that you should have been standing here 2 days ago to say that there is a potential threat and to be vigilant, your job is to protect and serve. That is what they should have been doing. And do you think, Jimmy, that they could have done that without compromising the investigation? Because to their credit, the last thing you want to do is have them do or say anything that would compromise the investigation.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak necessarily to the inner workings of a police department. I've never worked with one, nor do I know, obviously, whatever they know but aren't revealing to us. But certainly, if you take any sort of crisis communications class, you have to realize that in the absence of information, rumors will run wild. And that's what we saw on social media. I mean, you've been hearing them. I've been hearing them. Anyone who is kind of, tangentially related to the community has probably heard rumors. And we just don't know. You have the families of the victims pleading for people to stop spreading rumors on social media, saying, it's not fair to the victims and everyone else involved. So it's critical that we at least have some bit of information as to, what can be publicly released to potentially tamp down these rumors, which could be wildly off base, could be correct. We don't know yet.
Mm-hmm. And really, too, more rumors are now swirling because of the information or lack thereof that was released during the news conference yesterday. And what I mean by that, Jimmy, is talk to us about this new information that they that police released that there were two other roommates inside that residence when the attacks happened.
Yeah, I think that was probably the most substantial new piece of information we learned from the press conference. You know, Police Chief Fry said that there were two other roommates who were at the residence. And all we really know is that they were not injured in the attack and it wasn't a hostage situation and that they were there when the cops showed up around noon on Sunday. You know, police declined to say whether they were the ones who called 911, whether they witnessed the attack or whatever other information they might have relayed to police. But you can imagine, I'm sure that they have been talking to them extensively over the past several days.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think too, Jimmy, I think what the chief said is there was some reporter that raised their hand asking a question about the two roommates and saying, well, did they witness this? And the chief said, I didn't say that they witnessed this. And I think what I was hoping as I was watching the news conference that someone would ask or that the chief would say was whether or not these two roommates were considered people of interest or were they two victims? And because the chief did not address that, I mean, Jimmy, rumors are swirling once again today about these two roommates. And all I can think of is if they are victims, the vitriol that is happening needs to stop.
Oh, I would agree. Yeah. And that's, again, another, it goes back to the lack of information that we have. And, you know, I saw on social media and talking to a couple folks that I know up in Moscow who were reporters as well. You know, a lot of media were not included in the press conference, despite showing up, you know, about an hour early. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they could not ask questions, nor were they taking questions from reporters, you know, online who might be in Boise or elsewhere in Idaho or the rest of the country. So, I mean, it seems to be an issue that we might see ongoing in months and weeks to come.
Mm-hmm. It was frustrating, Jimmy, from the standpoint of not being willing to, I think, answer the basic questions that were being asked. And again, we fully understand there should not be the investigation compromise. But I think that when you throw out that there are two other roommates that were inside the residence, maybe let people know if they are people of interest. With that said, I do know the other information that the police chief confirmed was that the FBI is now working on the case with them. So did we learn anything else about that during the news conference?
Not necessarily about the FBI specifically, just that they were offering help with the case along with Idaho State Police and Latah County Sheriff's Office. Fry did say that they have more than 20 investigators working on the case. The other piece of information that we learned was that the autopsies on the victims were being performed Wednesday as well, though we don't have those results available at this time.
Mm-hmm. Let me reintroduce you, Jimmy, for folks who are just joining us. We're talking with our own Boise State Public Radio news reporter, James Dawson, and about the very latest updates on just this horrific, horrific crime that happened in Moscow on Sunday, where four University of Idaho students lost their lives. Jimmy, we do have a reporter up in Moscow. I'm curious as to what he's been hearing because he's been talking to students on campus.
He has been.
That are left on campus.
Correct. Yeah. So our reporter, Richard Rodriguez, talked to second year student Navina, who said that a lot of students are going home early for Thanksgiving. And I believe we have a clip of what she said.
I heard today in one of my classes, too, that a bunch of Greek life is super empty, too. Like nobody wants to be on campus.
Yeah, and I would imagine that the reason why Greek life might be pretty empty on Greek Row is because several of these victims were members of sororities.
So, Jimmy, I know that the University of Idaho president, Scott Green, was also at the news conference yesterday. What did he say? And I'm curious as to why he decided to keep campus open. He did close. All classes were canceled Monday. But campus is open, classes are going on. Yet, I mean, students won't be in trouble if they decide to leave early.
Right. Yeah, that's a good summary. So President Green called it a horrible tragedy that's really shaken the university community. He got emotional several times toward mm-hmm. the beginning of his speech, you know, talking about how the victims were bright lights in the community and that they'll have to grieve together as a Vandal family. He was asked that question as to why U of I only canceled classes on Monday. And he said that, you know, people grieve in different ways. Some students wanted to keep kind of a routine by going to classes, talking to their friends and professors, and really trying to go about their day as normal as possible. But he did say he completely respected students who feel the complete opposite, and said that all absences will be excused. Students won't get in trouble, you know, for not going to class at this time. But he didn't say how long that might last.
Mm-hmm. So, Jimmy, when all of this was happening over the last 3 days with the silence of the Moscow Police Department, really the deafening silence, and in particular when they said there is no threat, and they would not say anything more than that, it took me back to a bit more than 10 years ago when there was another homicide right off campus. And it generated so much fear in people. And this is the case of Katie Benoit. I know, Jimmy, that you covered this case. I was actually at KIVI when this happened and covered it as well. But it was one of those moments that it kind of threw me back to 10 years ago, because I remember police were silent. The University of Idaho was silent on this. But so tell us, for people who may not know about Katie Benoit, can you fill us in on this?
Yeah, sure can. So Katie was a 22-year-old grad student. She had been dating one of her former psychology department professors, Ernesto Bustamante, and she eventually split with him after he held a gun to her head 3 separate times, but declined to press charges because she had stolen his psychiatric medication. So she felt like, at least from the, mm-hmm. the records that we got, was that she felt like she might be prosecuted for that. So he essentially had been forced to resign by the university just before the fall 2011 semester began. And somehow, as far as I know, we still don't know how he discovered Katie's new address, because she did move. She was warned by the university to kind of, you know, keep an eye out, even though, you know, Bustamante was supposed to go to a new job, I believe, at Old Dominion University in Virginia. Mm-hmm. So it was the first day of classes. She, you know, it was about, I believe, 8 p.m. or so. She went out on her back porch to smoke a cigarette after baking cookies with her roommates. And he was apparently waiting in the alley, shot her multiple times with a 45 caliber handgun. He eventually holed himself up at the Best Western hotel just down the road. And Bustamante eventually killed himself during a standoff with police. And now the parallels that I'm seeing, for sure, like you mentioned, the lack of transparency, most of that came from the university,
right,
to be honest.
That is true.
You know, the university initially declined to release his personnel records, which eventually revealed several warning signs about his troubling behavior, talking about his multiple personality disorders, including ones that he named the Beast and Psychopathic Killer. But those documents were finally given to media outlets after a lawsuit. And, you know, several reforms came to the University of Idaho after that, you know, trying to, you know, come up with better policies to protect students and make it clear that, you know, professors should not be, you know, having sexual relationships with their students and stuff like that. Whereas, you know, now this is a situation where that was over in about 12 hours or so, whereas mm-hmm. this, you know, it's open-ended. As far as we know, there's no suspect or suspects. And, you know, we're just kind of waiting to see what the next turn of the page is.
Right. And I think, Jimmy, it's, you know, you make a good point about the lack of transparency, right? When we look back on the Katie Benoit case back in 2011, the absolute lack of transparency by the university. Yes, there was a bit more transparency by the Moscow Police Department, but that's because they knew who did this, right? And yeah. And here we are now, truly, even with that news conference yesterday, still a lack of transparency. And yes, students are going on break, but they're going to come back to school on November 28th, or maybe they won't. And, you know, I think we're all sitting here wondering, well, is the campus safe? Is the community safe? Is the broader community safe? And we don't have those answers. And I think that there is frustration and probably even anger growing over that. So are we still, you know, waiting to learn more? And I ask that too, because on the Today Show on NBC this morning, they interviewed the Latah County prosecutor, and he said there might be more than one suspect. I listened to the entire news conference yesterday. I don't remember specifically hearing that.
I don't think that was specifically mentioned, but I think that it's been a, you know, I didn't go back and read the transcript before coming on, right. But I think that at some point, James Frey might have said suspect or suspects, which, you know, gives even more credence to like the fact that we don't necessarily even have that nailed down. So, you know, it's just even more illustrative of the fact that we have very few facts to go on. There's no weapon that has been recovered, though they believe it was a stabbing. They don't know if the door was unlocked or locked. It was just open, no sign of forced entry. Just so many basic details that we do not know publicly whether or not Moscow police does. We don't know at this point, but hopefully we will find out as the case progresses.
Yeah. And Jimmy, at this point, then we don't know what will, if the university will make any plans then past Thanksgiving break in regards to student safety.
I don't know, which is why I said, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how long those excused absences are given, whether or not classes will go kind of back to a hybrid situation. I'm sure that at the university, it's kind of moment by moment right now as they assess, you know, what might be best for the community.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, as always, appreciate your reporting. I know this has been difficult, I think, on everyone who has had to cover this, who has been horribly affected by this. So just appreciate you coming on and getting us updated.
You're welcome, Gemma.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Experiencing the news each day can feel like a journey. With Up First from NPR, it doesn't have to be. Welcome to 15 easy minutes of breaking news, clarity on international and national affairs, all handed over not from some floating voice in the sky, from us, Layla, A, Steve, and me, Rachel. Start your day informed. Subscribe to Up First wherever you get your podcasts.